Father Yurok and I are very blessed to have a little adoration chapel in our rectory, up in the upstairs room, just really kind of catty corner. The corner, the door on one side leads to my room, and the door on the other leads to our little chapel. We have a little tabernacle in there, and the host, the Eucharist, is present. And it's such a great place to pray. And I tell everyone that, you know, Jesus is my roommate, literally, because he's like right there. It's quite a blessing, and there's several of the parishioners, the ladies who do the flowers here and stuff, they also bring flowers to the rectory, and they put them in this adoration chapel on the altar. And so far, Father Yurok and I have had quite great success in killing every one of these flowers. They just die. They don't last very long. And then, you know, they'll come in, they'll replace them and give us a lecture about how to water flowers, and the watering pot is there, but I just don't even think about it. You know, I think the only flowers that could probably survive, or any plants that could survive, are cactuses that just do their own thing, you know? So the other day, I was disappointed when I looked up, and, you know, I'm in there all the time, but I do not notice it. But I look up, and there's flowers that they just put in there like 2 weeks ago, dead, just like wilted down, and the leaves are all like just flopped to the sides. So I bump one of them, and the petals fall off the flowers. Like, and I feel guilty because I've killed another set of flowers from just forgetting to water it. So, you know, I knew it was too little, too late. I was gonna throw them away, just take them out to the dumpster and toss them. But for some reason, I decided to put some water on them, and so I did. This is right before I went to bed. I put water on them, and I came back the next morning. And I'll be doggone if they weren't standing back up. I mean, just like perked back up. I mean, the stems are straight, and the leaves were all flushed. And I mean, it was like nothing, well, other than the petals had fallen off. So they didn't go unscathed, but they were back, brought back to life just overnight, just a couple of hours later, just standing back up. And so, you know, they have a new lease on life, I guess, but as I was sitting there in the morning when I realized this, God spoke to me in a very quiet, subtle way, and he's just like, Curtis, this is what you do with your spiritual life. This is what you do to your soul. You ignore it. You think it's just can you know, survive on its own. It doesn't need any attention. And it gets dry. And it dies. It's arid. So it just made me stop and pause and think, wow. The water can was right there. The flowers were right there. But the flowers couldn't water themselves, you know? It took another person, it took somebody else, an agent to give them the water. But that's all they needed, and then they flourished. They were perked right back up. If that is what we do with our spiritual lives, now, where do we receive the water for our soul? How do we receive that? Well, that's what I was thinking about when I read today's gospel. John the Baptist, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. John knew, he was convicted that what he was about, his entire mission, why I have come into the world, why I was sent here, was to point him out. The whole reason God put me here is so I could let you know who he is. That's my job. Behold the Lamb of God. He had that conviction. And it was because of that people flocked to him in droves. People who were dry and starving in darkness. Because they knew John offered them something. Pointing to them with a soul that's dry. Pope Francis has been talking to us about evangelization again and again and again. But something I came across recently where he said the greatest obstacle to a new surge of evangelization is spiritual mediocrity. The greatest obstacle to a new surge of evangelization is spiritual mediocrity. We treat our souls like a flower that can just do it on its own, and it can't. It takes a very deliberate, concerted effort to water the soul. And sometimes it takes someone to point it out to us. hey, right there, behold the Lamb of God, which John the Baptist did 2,000 years ago, and he does now through this gospel. And for those of us who have that dry aridness of soul, where do we look? Or do we even take any notice? You know, that plant was in there for 2 weeks, starving of, you know, of water. I didn't even notice. Just completely blew it off. And it's not that I was trying to be malicious. I just, you know, didn't even think about it until it was sitting there and basically on the verge of death. Sometimes we need a John the Baptist. And sometimes we, you and I, are called to be that John the Baptist for someone else. John the Baptist's conviction of who Jesus was is what gave his words power. He knew who he was pointing out. Pope Francis says, anyone who isn't convinced will not convince anyone else. Anyone who isn't convinced will not convince anyone else. It's the same principle. You cannot give what you don't have, right? How many of us are kind of stuck in the state of limbo in our spiritual life? Can I trust God? Is this all real? What about this, this, and this? Why does the church say that, that, and that? And then we just leave it at that for weeks, months, years, decades. And then we finally come to the end of our lives and think, well, I should probably figure out some of this stuff. But the point is, you don't have to wait for that. The answers are available now. If your soul is arid and dry, if your relationship with God isn't where it should be, seek some water. Because once you become vibrant, once you become convicted and convinced of who he is, then and only then can you really be that spark of evangelization, that light. Just like St. Paul says in his reading, we are called to be the light. We are called to be holy. So where is that primary source of water? The same place it was for John the Baptist. Behold the Lamb of God. Where do we hear those words? Every Sunday or at every Mass? Those are the last words the priest says before you receive communion, other than the body of Christ. He holds up the chalice. He holds up the host above it. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And it's so easy just to go into autopilot. Yeah, this is Jesus on the altar. That's cool. When's lunch? But do you realize that's God? Do you stop long enough to take notice of the fact that he is here, he's present, he's come to you to bring relief to that dryness in our souls, to bring confidence to those in doubt, light to those in darkness. So brothers and sisters, when we hear those words, behold the Lamb of God, and when we recognize in ourselves, if we recognize in ourselves that we're not where we need to be, let's do something about it. Because I just happened to catch those flowers before it was too late, but the other half a dozen of them are all in the dumpster now. Let's do something about it. And if you don't know where to go, how to do it yourself, go to someone who does. Come see me, come see Father Yurok. Find someone that you know, that you trust, who you look up to in the spiritual life. Find some answers. We can't necessarily do it on ourselves, but the water is sitting right there beside us. Behold the Lamb of God.